This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Pigeons get a bad rap in many urban areas. Some go as far as to call them sky rats, and that some refers to humans, which are just one of several animal species that inhabit cities. But pigeons are more than avian extras. They live in cities because they're feral, meaning that none of them here are wild. They're all descendants of domesticated pigeons released after the rise of mail services. The same is true in Madrid, Spain, where WashU student researcher Daisy Lewis studied abroad. While there, she looked into the urban ecologies of St. Louis and Madrid to answer a simple question posed to her research mentor, Elizabeth Carlin. Why are there so few pigeons in St. Louis despite its being an urban ecosystem? The answer? People, specifically people on foot. Joining me in studio to discuss how pigeons could serve as a canary in the coal mine in tracking the growth or decline of a city, and why humans should be a little nicer to our feathered neighbors, is Elizabeth Carlin. Liz is a researcher and postdoctoral fellow at the Living Earth Collaborative at Washington University. Liz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
So we've moved from squirrels to pigeons here. So Liz, you specialize in urban ecology, so let's start there. What is urban ecology?
So for a long time, cities were thought of as unnatural or uninteresting to study. They were this weird human-built environment. But it turns out that cities are thriving with wildlife, with plants, and those interactions, along with their human counterparts, shape what the environment is in each of these cities. And so urban ecology is really that study of how humans and plants and animals and all the weather, everything is kind of interacting to create a dynamic ecosystem.
Is there an example maybe that you give of what that chain looks like?
That chain of what it looks like to change from a kind of non-urban to urban?
Or what the connections are between the things that live in an urban area.
Right. So we can imagine something like a beaver. And a beaver in the forest will go in and change that ecosystem. It dams up the river and it creates these big kind of lakes that then have downstream impacts on the fish. It changes the water flow. And humans are having those same impacts on the landscape in urban areas. We're changing the flow of where animals can go by building parks, by building roads, by controlling road speeds. And so we're having those same major impacts that other organisms are doing in non-urban areas. Mm.
Pigeons specifically, these are they're birds that you have studied in the past. What struck your interest in them, both personally and professionally, Liz?
So it was kind of the lazy man's way out. I thought that during my dissertation, pigeons would be easy to capture, easy to study. I could look at them when I was walking home from the bar late at night. They would sit on my fire escape when I was in my apartment in New York City. And like I said, I was living in New York City at the time. And so it was this idea that, I should be able to do my dissertation very quickly if I study pigeons. And I was wrong.
Okay. Why were you wrong about it?
Because there's a lot of unanswered questions with pigeons. I think they've been living alongside us for so long. I was surprised to find out how little research had been conducted on them.
Mm-hmm. So the sky rat thing, you do not feel that way. And you are not alone in feeling that and preaching kind of a good word about pigeons. On the podcast Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang, actress Sarah Paulson used her one-minute rant for their segment, I Don't Think So, Honey, and she used that minute to talk about pigeons.
I don't think so, honey, that the pigeon is a rat with wings. I feel very, very triggered by this. I want you to understand something about a pigeon. Pigeons have been taught to be near us, to carry our messages to our loved ones. Mm-hmm. Pigeons have been lit. They mate for life, first of all. They are not dirty. We made them our city dwellers so that we could get them to take information to faraway lands, to stop wars, to tell somebody you love them. They were our messengers of our heart, our minds, our brains. It was their job to do work for us. And we have had them now in the city. People step on them. People run them over. They don't care. They don't feed them. They give them their trash. They talk about them the way they are talked about. The way they are talked about, as if they are disgusting. Yes, they mate for life. I watched a pigeon make a nest for a cat just out of the goodness of its heart. You know what? That cat didn't try to eat that pigeon. Pigeon hate be stopped. I'm calling on the world to stop hating on the pigeon.
And that's 1 minute.
And that was actress Sarah Paulson on the podcast Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang, sharing a heartfelt pro-pigeon rave, actually. And for the record, we'd planned on talking about Liz and Daisy's pigeon research before this clip went viral. Just before we started the show, the video was perched at 4.4 million views and 346,000 likes on Instagram alone. As a pigeon expert, Liz, what do you think of what Sarah Paulson had to say?
I am really excited that she's out there kind of singing this love song to pigeons, and that she's talking about how it's really our own human perceptions that have changed many people's attitudes about pigeons, that they're this really beautiful bird. They have this iridescence on their crop. And we're so lucky to get to live alongside this wildlife.
Was there anything that she got wrong in her defense?
No, they have been villainized. They have been deemed these rats with wings. And that was this whole campaign for some unknown reason. Maybe people didn't really like them, or one person didn't like them. They are doves. So pigeons are dove, and doves are all in this family, Columbidae. And pigeons typically are slightly bigger, while doves are slightly smaller. But we typically use those words interchangeably as the general public.
Mm-hmm. Are all the pigeons in the St. Louis region feral? Were descended of domestic pigeons? It's something that was mentioned in the introduction.
Yes. So all the pigeons that we have here in St. Louis are feral pigeons, meaning that their ancestors were domesticated by humans and then intentionally or unintentionally released. So we domesticated pigeons 5 to 10,000 years ago. They're native to North Africa, the Middle East, and Southern Europe. And we originally domesticated them because they're a great food source. Squab is still something that we eat today.
Yes, yes.
And it's delicious. Mm-hmm. And their poop provides great fertilizer for our crops. And then what we mentioned earlier about them transporting messages. They have this great homing ability, and so they can transport messages back home. And there's stories of pigeons being war heroes and being awarded medals for their heroic efforts. And so they were brought to the United States when colonizers came over here and were, again, intentionally or unintentionally released. And so that's how we ended up with these feral populations in all of our cities.
Mm-hmm. So do wild pigeons then, do they act or interact differently with humans?
So wild pigeons are very, very rare, and there's not a lot of people studying them. There's one researcher, Dr. Will Smith, and that is his name, out in the UK, who has been working on these wild pigeons and going into caves looking for them. And it's kind of unclear how many truly wild pigeons there are left, in the same way that we're not really sure if, you know, African wild cats really have not intergressed with the feral population.
Mm-hmm. The research that you and your research partner Daisy Lewis conducted, it compares the pigeon populations of St. Louis and Madrid, Spain. And Daisy shared what makes Madrid an interesting city, that is, to conduct this study, and the main difference between Madrid and St. Louis.
In Madrid, after the fall of the Franco regime, they invested large amounts of money into revitalizing their urban centers. And St. Louis has put more money into building up the suburban areas than revitalizing downtown. And you can see the effects in the amounts of pigeons we have in the cities. There are way more pigeons in Madrid than in St. Louis. And this project started because I asked Liz, you know, why aren't there more pigeons in St. Louis? This is a city, there should be way more. And there just aren't a lot of pedestrians around or restaurants with outdoor seating. You know, human history can influence city ecosystems today. But the biggest takeaway was that human cultural and political histories can influence how pigeons and probably other organisms that dwell in the city interact with us today.
That was Daisy Lewis, a researcher who worked alongside Liz Carlin on the pigeon densities between Madrid, Spain, and St. Louis. Liz, Daisy mentioned the fall of the Franco regime in Spain, and that regime happened, it was between 1939 and 1975. And in the 50 years that have passed since, Madrid made a concerted effort to build, again, that urban area. Tell us more about how policy and urban design is reflected in our ecosystem.
Yeah, so we can see, and anybody that is in St. Louis knows that we are a car-based culture. I don't live that far away from the studio here, and I still drove. And most of our city is built around roads and cars. We have a highway through downtown. And so this means that it's not very comfortable to walk around or to sit outside and meet up with friends kind of just on a fountain or a stoop. And we don't have restaurants that are squares where people are hanging out and kind of socializing. In Madrid, this has been an active policy to ensure that there are closed off streets where people can just hang out. We did see some of this during COVID where many streets were kind of shut down in cities across the country. But we don't have that as a typical part of our culture. Streets are for cars and not for people.
The lack of pigeons in the city, there is that mention about suburbs. And I feel like I have definitely seen more pigeons in the burbs than here. How long does it take for that to become the reality that's observed?
Yeah, I've noticed that too about St. Louis, and I'm still very curious. Part of where I've seen pigeons in the suburbs is kind of like near the Brentwood Promenade. And I don't know if that's because that's a big place where people aggregate or if it's that someone around there is actively feeding them. And so one of the things that we do tend to see is these big clusters of pigeons in St. Louis. And my first guess is that someone in that area has decided that they're going to feed the pigeons, and they have a little routine that they go out and they feed the pigeons. We just don't know where that person is, and because the pigeons can consume food very, very quickly, mm-hmm. we don't see the evidence of that.
Other than the line that connects lower pigeon density to lower pedestrian density, how are pigeons a canary in a coal mine when it comes to city development in particular, Liz?
Yeah, so one of the things that this study did was talk about the culture and the history of different places and what it means to design a city kind of where people are interacting casually on the street. And one of the things that that we noticed was that Madrid really had built policies around ensuring that people were out and about and walking and not kind of siloed and isolated. And so this kind of gets at this idea that governments have a responsibility and in shaping what the urban ecosystem looks like, everything from where parks are to where little neighborhood squares are where people might go out and eat their lunch or gather after work just to have a conversation. And so all of those things, that those policies that the government are enacting are going to have downstream effects on the people and therefore the wildlife in the area.
Mm-hmm. Your co-researcher, Daisy Lewis, shared with us why pigeon density matters and what it represents.
It represents a history of racism, redlining, and environmental racism that I think most people from St. Louis are familiar with in a way that Madrid does not. We would be north of Del Mar, and we would be in neighborhoods where there was just overgrown grass surrounding an abandoned church. And I remember Liz and I talking about how the environment would be so different there when just overgrown grass versus neighborhoods where people have the money to maintain their lawns. Like, even that can change differences in environment. Separately, it brings up another question of, I think, perception of pigeons. I talked about this a little bit in my paper, but of course they have a negative perception because they can be a nuisance and they can dirty cities. But for people who live in cities, it's sometimes the only animal that they see all day.
And that was Daisy Lewis, who conducted research on pigeon density in St. Louis and Madrid, Spain, with our guest, Liz Carlin. Liz, Daisy brought up a couple of points there about environmental racism and compassion for pigeons. Environmental racism is typically discussed in conversations around air or water quality or about rising temperatures. How does structural racism impact urban wildlife?
Well, if you think about all the things that kind of come with disinvestment, so everything from vacant lots to vacant buildings, you know, wildlife are inherently connected to the land. They're living on the land. They're drinking that water. They're going through the garbage cans, through the dumpsters that we have. And so every time something is happening to humans, it's having other impacts on wildlife as well, because they're using those exact same resources. And so when we don't restore land, when we don't remediate soil after heavy metal exposure in that soil, you know, those wildlife, think about the pigeons and squirrels that are walking on that barefooted, eating things out of that soil, of course they're going to have downstream impacts on the wildlife. And so these wildlife can really act as these bioindicators of the health of the ecosystem and how well we're supporting humans is inherently linked to what we're seeing with wildlife.
Mm-hmm. To Daisy's point about pigeons being one of the few animals St. Louisans see in their day-to-day, we're not talking about the zoo. There are lots of animals there. But just in being out doing very mundane things, why is it important to have pigeon or, you know, other animal sightings in just the regular motions of life?
I think that we are we have this strong desire to connect with wildlife. And you see that everything from someone kind of breaking up their chips and tossing it to a bird when they see a bird, to that desire to see how close you can get to a pigeon before it flies away. I was lucky to have parents that really encouraged me to go out and interact with wildlife. And I think it reminds us of our human human nature, our animal nature. We know that people are healthier when they have access to green spaces. And part of those green spaces are wildlife and seeing that wildlife. And so it's really important that we're getting this opportunity to see wildlife and remind ourselves that we are part of something larger than just ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything from the study that surprised you or that you think, you know, people should know about the pigeons in St. Louis?
I was really surprised at how few pigeons we saw. And I had, again, noticed this when I first got to St. Louis. And so when Daisy came to me with this question, I thought it was this perfect question that we didn't know the answer to. And, you know, walking from North City through to South City, it was quite shocking how few pedestrians there are in North City. The sidewalks are not well maintained. You know, a good portion of the time, we were walking in the road because there was no space for us. And so I want people, when they do see pigeons, when they travel to downtown or when they're out in the suburbs, when they see pigeons, to notice them, to remind themselves that they're part of the larger ecosystem in St. Louis, and then maybe look for some fun things. We can look for different colors and things like that.
Elizabeth Carlin is a researcher and WashU postdoctoral fellow. Liz, thank you so much for talking with us about pigeons today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.